let's get going then. I wanted to spend some time this morning talking about where we start in our biblical growth. I get these questions quite a few times from the website where people will look at the abundance of information. We have over 1,000 different articles, audios, MP3s, chart lessons, just tons of stuff. And they go, where do I begin? Where do I start? I want to learn this. This is interesting. They've read an article, listened to a message. Where do I begin? Where do I start growing here? And so I want to deal with that this morning, not only where beginners start, where people who are new to the message begin, but also those of us who have been studying it for a while. Sometimes what we learn seems kind of random. We go through Romans verse by verse, but it takes us a whole year to do it. And so we need to make sure that we're not plateauing. We're not derailed from our growth path. We constantly need to be increasing in our knowledge of what God has done for us, what He's doing for us and through us, and what His Word is, what His will is for us. And so I want to talk about that this morning and what your growth plan should look like. Okay, there's four different stages that the Bible talks about regarding your growth, your spiritual growth and understanding, and we all fit in one or more of these places. So hopefully we explain this morning where you ought to start if you haven't started already, and where we need to keep going, where we're heading in our continual Bible study. Okay. Sometimes it can become routine. Sometimes it can become just tedious, just a workaday thing. And yet there is a goal. Okay, there is something that God has said that we are to look for, we're to push for, and that's where we need to be going. Okay, none of us will reach that point in our lifetime, and so we always have plenty to do. And so even with the few verses we have in the Bible explaining God's will, it is still a lifetime of service that we have in front of us. Okay, now when people ask, where do I start? This is typically asked by someone who sees the abundant information and is willing to do some work. They want to be involved. They want to be engaged in service to the Lord. They want to do God's will. They want to know God's will. They want to do right. Okay, and this is a good place to be. A lot of times you talk to people and they don't care. I mean, you talk about the Bible, you talk about things that shouldn't matter, they just simply don't care. Things in their own life are more important to them. They think coming to church, studying the Bible, meeting together with like-minded believers is just a waste of time. Well, it's going to be hard to convince them. I mean, you can try to be exuberant. You can try to say, it's exciting. Our church is fun. But we don't have, you know, fog machines and flashing lights. And, you know, it's just not what attracts them. And that's okay with me. I'm not trying to attract people who don't want to be here. Okay, we have the Bible. We study it. The reason why we do what we do here is because this is what the Bible says we ought to do. So people who are interested in growing in the knowledge of the truth of God and His Word, this is a good place to come. Okay, this is what we do. And so people who say, where do I start learning this information? I like that question because it's like, I want to get going. I'm tired of sitting here. I'm tired of being stagnant. I want to move. I want to learn. I want to grow. And that's what we should all be oriented around. Philippians 1 verse 9, Paul says that he prays that we would abound more in knowledge and in judgment about God and His will for us. And he's talking to the Philippians. The Philippians were pretty decent folks. Paul praises them in Philippians for the good work they were doing. Okay, and so it's something we ought to continually do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll cover a little bit later. Paul says the same thing to those in Thessalonica. Thessalonians, they were the most successful church you read about in Paul's ministry. And because Paul says there's nothing I had to do among you as far as ministry or to get you going or to motivate you. They were doing the work. And so 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul says, I was proud of you. I was glad. I was joyful because they were doing things that they should have been doing. And so when Paul showed up, all he had to do was encourage them. But even so, in 1 Thessalonians 4, these folks who are doing the necessary work, he says, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So they were already doing good works, and Paul says there's room to abound more and more. Okay, there is a path that we are on of spiritual growth, of growing up into the head Jesus Christ, of doing the Lord's will, that we will never say, did it, done that, been there, finished. Okay, that's not, you won't get there. Okay, not in this life. And so Paul is saying that there is a continual need for growth in Christ. There's actually a curriculum, not to be too academic here, but if you read through Paul's epistles, there's an order, there's stages, there's some sort of a curriculum of doctrine and explanation that happens in your growth. And we'll cover that today. How that it seems like everyone follows a similar path, even though we all have our own different unique weaknesses and strengths and things that we need to work on and things that we know and don't know. People follow typically the same progression in their maturity, in their growth. Okay, and so there is a curriculum that Paul has, and it never stops. Now, if you're not new to the Message Right Division, if you're not new to knowing God's will, knowing how to study your Bible rightly divided, then you say, well, I've already done that. I've already learned this stuff. And even for you folks, there's a danger of not increasing more, saying I've arrived, I'm here, I'm going to stay here where I'm at. We need to press on. Pressing on means you continually press, never stopping, pressing on towards the mark of the high calling. We need to start up again if you're at that point. If you're at the point where, you know, I seem like I've stopped, well, let's get going. Let's do something. And hopefully this morning there's some starting points here where you can say, well, that's where I need to start. That's where I'm lacking. Okay, so that's the goal this morning. The goal, of course, for all of us is to do God's will, to glorify God, to grow up specifically into the head, which is Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, whether you eat or you drink or you you work, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, you do it to the glory of God. That's what 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says. 1 Corinthians 15:58 tries to encourage the Corinthians that their labor is not in vain. Sometimes as we start to mature, we start to grow in doctrine, we come to a point where we think what we're doing really has no effect in the world. We'd be better off following a social gospel or a kingdom gospel because they seem to be doing more political activism, or they tend to be doing more things in society. And yet we need to trust God's work to do the work that He wants done. Okay, so we need to encourage each other that the labor you have in the Lord, growing in the Lord, is not in vain. When you do what the Bible says, we need to have that sort of dependence and trust on God. You will see fruit in your life. You will see fruit in the life of those around you, and God's will be done. Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 15 talks about us speaking the truth in love and growing up into the head, which is Christ. He says we should speak the truth in love that we may grow up into Him, into Christ, in all things, which is the head. So this is our goal. Be conformed to His image, to grow up into His likeness, okay? And it's never too late to start. It's never too soon to start. The best time to start growing would be now, and there is a plan and a purpose for us to do that. Now, when we talk about biblical growth, we talk about moving from where you are now to where you will be, doing God's will, glorifying God, growing up into Christ. We need to know what that looks like, okay? When you say, I'm going to move from here to here, you need a map. You need a direction. You need to know where you start. And you need to know where you want to end up, right? We need to have that map. You need to know where you're at first. There are four stages on your outline that we'll be dealing with this morning of biblical growth. One is salvation, establishment. You see the letter E is dropped off of that. This is, establishment means to stabilize yourself. Sanctification and service. Okay. Now, when you try to get things out of order and try to do the service of God before you understand salvation, for example, you're going to mess things up. Okay, when you try to talk about doing good works and your sanctification before your salvation, you're going to mess things up. We need to start always with salvation. Everybody starts here. The question is, where do I start? The answer is always salvation. So, oh, I got that a long time ago. Well, let's not assume. Let's make sure we're all in the same starting place. Because if the gospel, as we were learning this morning in Romans 10, 9 and 10, is even off a little bit, you'll end off in the wrong place. Romans 10, 9 and 10 is one of the places people often confuse the gospel, thinking that the gospel Paul's talking about for Israel is their gospel, and you will end up in Israel's program. You'll end up trying to follow some sort of growth into Israel's kingdom, and that's not going to work for you today. Okay, that's not where Christ wants you to be. And so we need to start with salvation. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, of course, says God's will is that all men be saved. Right? So if you're saved, you're already doing, you're already part of, rather, let me say it that way, God's will, which is for all men to be saved. When you put your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for your sins, His death for your sins, because you couldn't do anything to pay for your sins, you couldn't do any amount of good works to compensate for the bad work that you did, and so you trust God to do everything for you. He justifies ungodly people, of which you were one, okay, and you trust His death and resurrection to give you eternal life, you are then saved. Ephesians 1:13 says you hear the gospel, you trust it for your eternal life, and you're sealed, you are saved to the day of redemption. So God's will is for us to be saved. Salvation is where we start. The gospel is where everyone starts. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. We've often said this is Paul clearly stating the gospel. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:1, this is the gospel by which I preached unto you, that if you keep memory whereby you're saved, that Christ died for your sins, He was buried and rose again the third day. And of course, understanding what that means for your salvation, that's where everyone should begin. If somebody does not know or does not believe that gospel, it is impossible for them to grow up into Christ. Now, this is something we need to wrap our heads around, because there's a lot of people who are trying to do God's will, and they don't know it. There's lots of people who are trying to love the Lord and serve the Lord and don't know the gospel. They're not saved. They're trusting their own works. They're trusting their own service to make themselves pleasing to God. Okay? When you don't start with the gospel, it is impossible for you to grow. Okay? Sometimes you'll see where plants, and when they grow out of the ground, there's some sort of an obstacle or obstruction in their way, and they'll grow kind of around it. Right? This is a distorted plant. Right? It's possible for you to grow in the wrong way. And so we need to start on the same foundation, the same sure footing, which is the gospel of the grace of God in your salvation. If you don't start there, you will end up doing wrong things for the Lord in vain. It's only when you know right doctrine, when you know the salvation of God through Christ Jesus on the cross, that you can grow and it be not in vain. Okay? And so 1 Corinthians 1:17 says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved is the power of God. If we preach the gospel and not baptism, then Christ is powerful to us. But if we preach baptism as the gospel, Christ becomes of none effect. Galatians 5 says, if you're circumcised, you're a debtor to the whole law, right? Christ means nothing then. And so you have to start with the clear gospel. It's all what Christ did. It's all about his death and resurrection on the cross on your behalf. 1 Corinthians 1, or 2, verse 14 says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. And they're foolishness to him, of course, because he denies them. But it says if you're the natural man, which means you don't believe the gospel, you don't have the Spirit of God in you, it says that they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged, don't know man. So it is impossible for the natural man, even though he can read the Bible, even though he can study this from in his religious studies class at college, it's impossible for him to know spiritual things, because his spirit is dead to them. It requires faith in the things for the things to work in you. Okay? Those things will never work in someone who does not believe them. You can read about them, but they not work in you. We'll see that when we get to sanctification. There are things I can tell you about that you'll never know unless you believe them, and they grow in you by faith. Okay? And so this is God working in us through right doctrine. So you will not grow unless you're first saved. Growth, of course, when we talk about our growth, refers to your new man in Christ. Talk about spiritual growth. A lot of times people think immediately that spiritual growth, becoming more holy before the Lord, has to do with our behavior immediately. So when they come to church, they think, well, I'm turning over a new leaf. I need to grow closer to God. So that means I need to clean up my act, right? That's not where you start, you see. Where you start is with salvation, that, look, you cannot be perfect before God. You need to get eternal life. You need to get right with him by faith in what he's done. Salvation first. You're putting the cart before the horse, and you're saying, well, I need to clean up my act first. No, that's not the gospel. You're going to start reforming your old man. You're going to try to do better and do better and do better the rest of your life, and you'll miss entirely the gospel of the grace of God. You'll miss salvation, you'll miss righteousness. And so it's not about your works. It's never been about your works. It's always been about faith. In what God tells us. And so growth refers to you and your new man in Christ. When you believe the gospel, you are made part of a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Okay? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. There's a creature called the body of Christ, which the Bible calls the church. You become a member of that body by your faith in the gospel. The church in the scripture is not the local church that requires you to tithe and be water baptized to join. It is part of the body of Christ that you get into by faith in the gospel. And he's talking about in the Bible the growth of you in him, not the growth of you in your old man. Okay, the success, the stories, the place, the reputation of your old man does nothing to help you grow closer to God. Okay, it's only you in Christ. It's only what you can get from Christ that will grow you. Okay, so it's your new man in Christ. When we read the scripture, we see automatically, point number one, where we start about salvation. We need to depend on God's word. We can't depend on ourselves for growth. We can't say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do it. We need to start with the cross. We need to start with Christ. When he works in us, then we grow. Okay, and that's what happens. So, you know, you hear some people talk about the gospel being Christ. We dealt with that this morning. The gospel is not just Christ. The gospel is not a story, it's a man, right? So believe in Jesus, love Jesus, it's about Jesus, life is about Jesus, you know. He's all that matters. Well, yeah, that's great. Christ is God, Christ is preeminent, and yet that's not the gospel, folks. The good news concerns who you are and why you need him, right? Well, I'm sad, I'm depressed, life was boring without him, you know. No, that's not the reason. The reason is that there is sin, okay? The reason is that you are separated from God legally. Right? You are unrighteous as a standing, as a status. Okay? He died to pay for your sins. You need to understand the salvation. This is where you start. You say, well, I don't understand all that stuff. I just believe Christ. Well, that's where you need to start. You need to start understanding your own salvation. What does that mean? Why does the Bible say you need Christ? Okay? What did he do? Right? You need to learn that. That's point number one. You say, where do I start? I'm excited. Well, start with salvation. Get this nailed down. Okay, know where to find it in your Bible. Know how to explain it. Know how to say it. Know why you are saved. Why people need it. Why other people should be saved. Salvation is a starting point. Okay, without this, you won't go anywhere in doing God's will. All right, this is where it begins. And we'll see later, this is where it ends as well. But it's not just Jesus Christ the man. It's not just Jesus Christ the historical figure. It's not just Jesus Christ my hero, my prophet, you know, my husband, whatever they say he is. It's not that. It's your salvation. And it's what God did through Christ to accomplish it. Okay? Which brings us to the second point of growth. You say, all right, I've got salvation. I understand it. I was a little fuzzy there for a while because the faith and works controversy really held me up. You know, I didn't understand whether my works had something to do with it. But now I got that ironed out. Okay, I understand it's by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. I got the gospel. I know why I'm saved. I know about sin. I know the wretchedness of sin. I know the greatness of God's righteousness. Where do I go from here? Well, this is where the majority of Christians are at. And I say Christians in the saved sense, because there's a lot of people that try to go here and aren't saved. Okay, but if you pass salvation, if you understand the gospel, this is where you're at. Your establishment. This is where you need to be built up. Okay? This stage of your growth is now you need to learn some things about what God is doing. What is God's will? This is the context of a lot of what we talk about here. Okay, I don't preach salvation every week because sometimes I presume you're already saved. You know, you've been here for a while, a lot of you have, and so I preach the gospel, you've heard me say it today already, but I don't preach whole messages on every week, because we need to move past that in our growth. We need to grow to understand what is God's will. Why are there 66 books in this Bible? What is it talking about? What would God have us do? Right? And so that's where we need to study the Bible. We need to learn how to study the Bible. Why do we read the Bible? You can be saved and understand salvation without opening a page of the Bible. You go to a preacher, they tell you, you believe it, you understand it that way. Your establishment has to do with you being able to feed yourself, which means you need to be equipped to open this book and use it, right? That's why we come here to study, to show yourself approved. Not to show us as a group approved, to show you approved, that you can do it. A workman that needs not to be ashamed before God, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? And so this is the establishment stage of your growth. Like I said, this is where most people are at, right here. A lot of people don't move past this point. Their whole life, they're trying to equip themselves. Some people, they don't. They can never get to a point where I can study on my own. Now, all of you here, I've talked to most of you, can do that. Okay, you can study on your own. You know how to rightly divide. But this is where you start to learn how to study your Bible, how to believe your Bible, right? How to use it and what to use it for. Okay, if you look at Romans 1:11. You can be saved your whole life and never pick up a Bible. Praise God. Otherwise, how will anybody be saved? Okay, you can be saved by hearing the gospel at a preacher, reading a tract. You can hear the gospel on TV. You know, rare nowadays, but you can hear the gospel and be saved. All right, it's not that hard. But when it comes to your biblical growth, your spiritual growth, and your establishment, making you stable, it requires you opening a book. It requires you read this Bible and understand what it's saying. You can be saved your whole life and stay a baby. And I'm afraid it's what we have in Christianity nowadays, if they're saved at all. We have a lot of spiritual babies. They don't know how to operate as adults. They don't know how to use the Bible. They're afraid to open the Bible. They're confused about the Bible. Okay, they don't know what it means. They don't know what it says. They think that all the denominations and confusion is just, that's the way life is, you know. They don't turn to God for truth. They're looking at every pastor and teacher out there to get some truth, when actually they need to be established on themselves so they can teach on their own, okay? And so they're stuck at this point of their growth. We need to grow up, right? We need to grow up. We need to begin to know how to study the Bible and then grow up past this so we're able to teach. 2 Timothy 2:2 says that faithful men are able to teach other men to teach, right? That's what evangelism is, by the way, is you not just explaining, but hopefully you're able to explain enough to someone that they can articulate it to someone else, you know? Otherwise, you didn't do a good job, you see? So there's this need for you to mature a little bit in your understanding. That's what establishment is. Romans 1, verse 11, Paul says, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. People read that and they go, well, Paul wants to lay hands on them, you know, going to speak in tongues or something. That's not what he's saying here. The spiritual gift is his writing this book of Romans. The spiritual gift is doctrinal information, which is why he says at the end of the verse, to the end you may be established. See that? Established, that you may be firmly planted. So not yet, but he wants them to be established, to be grounded. Okay. 16 chapters later, in Romans 16:25, Paul says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. He's already explained the gospel in the previous 16 chapters. And so by the time they get to the end of the book, they can be established. They can be set. Right? They're there. They're stable. You can read the book of Romans and get that, which is helpful. Okay, you say, where do I start? Well, do you know the gospel? Got that. We confirm that. Okay, where do I start now? Read the book of Romans. Get yourself grounded. Be established, right, in God's truth. You read through the book of Romans, we're covered through Romans 9, 10, and 11 nowadays on our verse by verse. There's some hard stuff in there. That's okay. Okay, I mean, you don't have to learn it all the first week, but there's some stuff that's important in there for you to grasp. What happened to Israel? How do you get saved? What about faith and works? It's all in Romans. Who am I in Christ? What's God's will for my life? They're all in Romans. It's in the rest of Paul's epistles too, but Romans is a foundational book. Paul wrote the book of Romans to people he had never seen before. He knew they'd heard the gospel, at least by hearsay. And he writes this book to say, well, if you know the gospel, here's an establishment book for you. You need to get grounded so you don't get tossed to and fro with unsound doctrine. So where do you start? You start with the Bible. You start with Paul's epistles, start with the book of Romans to establish yourself in what God's doing. You'll find as we study the book of Romans, we've done that for some 39 weeks now, that constantly Paul will refer to the other parts of your Bible. You know, preachers like to say, well, God's word won't return void and that the scriptures are connected to each other. You know, they're linked to each other. It cannot be broken, as the Bible says. And you read the book of Romans, even though it's in the middle of your Bible, it will lead you back to other parts of your scripture. Romans 4, it goes back to Genesis, right? Romans 5, it goes back to Genesis and under the law program. Romans 7, he's teaching the law in Romans 7. Right? In Romans 9, 10, 11, we've gone back to Obadiah, Malachi, Isaiah, Ezekiel. We're going back to the scripture in light of what God is doing now in the book of Romans. And so don't fear you're going to miss Genesis through Revelation by starting with what God's doing now. Because you'll need to understand the whole thing eventually. And this is your establishment. Okay? So Paul in Romans 1 and Romans 16 tells the Romans that I'm trying to establish you in God's word and his doctrine, what he's doing. Okay? This is where you become rooted. Look at Colossians 2, verse 7. This stage of your growth. And again, this happens the rest of your life. It's not something where you move past one of these, you never deal with it again. You always should refer back to your salvation, to praise God, to honor God for what he's done saving you. This should be a content of your prayers and your thoughts. You'll always be studying the scripture to learn new things, to learn about God's will, to go deeper into it. Okay, and yet, there is an order as well. You must be saved first before you get established. Colossians 2, verse 7. He says, rooted and built up in Christ, in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. This is the part where a teacher is required. Okay, now hopefully you get to the point where you are established and you're able to do some teaching of your own. But this is the part where you need a teacher because you start, you say, where do I begin? You say, well, you need to get grounded. And you say, how? That's what someone's got to explain. Well, this is where you start. Okay, here's some doctrines. And then you start reading, so this is kind of difficult for me. Okay, well, we're learning. We're growing. Right? You need a teacher. The goal is there's a point where you don't need the teacher all the time anymore. You maybe become the teacher. Maybe not behind the pulpit, but I mean, you're teaching your family, others. Okay, one of the best ways to learn is to teach. I like teaching here, not because I like the attention. You know, when I was younger, I was kind of a shy guy. I still don't like talking in public that much. And yet, I've learned a lot from being up here. One of my critiques and my speaking abilities is to look up, because constantly I'm talking like this. I don't know if you notice this or not. You know, I'm talking like this. And why? It's because I'm talking to myself, folks. I'm preaching to myself. I'm learning. This is amazing. And I forget that you're all out here. You know, I'm supposed to be teaching these people, you know. But it's amazing the things you learn when you prepare outlines, when you teach. Okay? This is why I think God made families. You know, He made husband, wife, children. You know, children are ignorant. They need to be taught something. Adults know things, right? So you know what you do, Daddy? You know what you do, Father? You make a night of the week and say, this is our church time. And you prepare a lesson for your family. You will grow. You know, adults say, well, how do I grow in the truth? Well, it's not just here. Do it on your own. Teach. Go through a book, go through Romans verse by verse with your family. It'll force you to read this, to listen to that, and to learn on your own. You'll have to articulate. Okay? It doesn't have to be as extensive as my outline. It doesn't have to be 2 hours long or whatever. But when you do that, that's how you get established. Right? You learn, you study, and you're communicating to the people in your family, to those around you, that this needs to be understood. Right? So that's a good idea, I think. So it's not just we come to church, that's where we get established. You establish on your own. You study at home. You study with your family. You study with your friends. Okay? That's how you become established. All right? That's the purpose, one of the functions of the assembly, when like-minded believers come together, we can learn, edify from each other. Maybe there's something that I studied out, you studied out, that I didn't know, that you didn't know. And so, you see there's different joints, that we all supply something. But we have to be established. I'm not going to listen to the baby. Okay? You got to know what you're talking about. You got to show that you can study to show yourself approved. Okay, here comes a baby coming here telling me what to say and what the Bible says. My first question is, show me in the Bible where it says that. I want to know from the Bible, from God's Word, how you came to that point. Right? God did a miracle in my life. You know, okay, great. How do you know? You know, God told me to speak in tongues today. How do you know that exactly? Here's a Bible topic. Let's deal with it. Right? And so it's always oriented around God's Word and what He's doing. Okay? 1 Timothy 3:15 says the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is not this building. The church is you, right? 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Spirit dwells in you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that means that you then are the vessel. You are the root and the ground of the truth, which means God's Word is communicated and inhabited in you that are saved. You know the gospel? There's something in you. There's that understanding, right? Now the more you grow, there's something else in you. Paul said in Romans 1, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. And that describes you. Okay, you don't think, well, I'm not ready. I'm not at the point. If you know the gospel and you're able to articulate it, you know something about God's truth. Okay? No, you need to move on and you'll know more. But there's something in you if you're saved. If not, then you need to be saved. Get something in you. Okay? So it's not that we need to go to seminary for 10 years and write 50 books and, you know, have a ministry 6,000 big before we can say, I'm ready now, I'm accomplished, and I'm a credible teacher, you know. Well, there may be some that are worthy of honor, but, you know, we all need to be at the place where we're equipped and established. It would be great if all of you had your family Bible studies and you came here, and I'm teaching in Romans, and you're all going, that doesn't sound right. We studied this last week at home, you know. My daddy said this. You know, great. You know, let's have this conversation. You know, instead of me just talking all the time, you go, yeah, that must be right. You know, but we need to deal with people who are grown-ups, right? And this is the idea that we come together, that we can be adults, like-minded in the faith, have a mutual faith in encouraging one another to continue to do the work. We need to learn to believe the Bible. We need to study the Bible. Say, I don't know how to study the Bible. Well, that's why we're here. Okay, we learn to study the Bible together. We find answers together. That's why every Sunday we have a time where you can ask the questions. The goal is for us to grow. Okay, you need to ask the questions. You need to research them out. To learn how to pray, this is part of your establishment. How to operate. What do I do? I mean, they're studying the Bible, yeah, but I can't do that all the time. And it's kind of academic. You know, what do I do in my spiritual life? Well, there's things that you do. There's praising, there's honoring, there's praying, there's communicating to people, right? There's thanksgiving. Then learn how to pray. You need to know God's will. Everyone who asks the question, what is God's will for my life, is stuck in the establishment stage. They need to learn God's will. It's not that hard. Doing it is a little more work, right? But knowing God's will is clear in the Bible. There's verses like 1 Timothy 2:4. It says God's will is that all men be saved and, number two, come to a knowledge of the truth. So if they're saved, they don't know the truth of God's will, they're unwise, Ephesians 5:16 and 17 says. Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 1 verse 9, He had made known unto us the mystery of His will. Right? So we need to know these things from the Scripture. Okay? We need to know God's will. This is part of your establishment. What results from your establishment is you being equipped, a workman, able to rightly divide the Scripture, able to to explain the scripture, to explain what God's doing, and now there's time to do the work, okay, which is the third stage of your spiritual growth. When it comes a time where the doctrine is resident in you, look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and you're learning about the doctrine, learn about how God works and what he does, and how you ought to operate in your position, who you are in Christ. You learn about, well, I'm in Christ, I'm a member of the body of Christ, and you know, Christ has provided me justification, sanctification, propitiation, atonement. I got all these things here. There's a difference between knowing it and actually being it. Can I say it that way? Other pastors will say applying it to your life. You know, I don't like that idea, because I can't know every detail of your life. But you know, there is something in you that when you believe the things that you're studying, okay, when you get to a point where you're persuaded about that doctrine, you become established and you know that's the truth. Romans 14, verse 5, you're persuaded of it. You're convinced of it. You're established in it. That it will work in you. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. This cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. That means you got to believe it first. Right? That means you need to hear the gospel first. Then you need to understand the knowledge of the truth to believe it. And he says, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. Effectually. It has an effect. You say, I want God to work powerfully in my life. Well, you need to start with salvation. Then you have to study. Okay? You can't have God working in your life unless you know some things about what he's doing. Read the Bible, study the Bible, know what this is, and suddenly, when you believe it to be true and what it says, you understand the information, it will work effectually in you. It'll have an effect in your life. Okay? The effect is just you taking what God says and saying, that's how it is. That's how I'll be. This is what I'll do. Right? That's the effect it has in your life. It's not some mystical, you know, unknown, hidden thing. God's working in mysterious ways in my life. No. He's working your life as this book describes, and you have to know what it says. If you're not at that point yet, go back to stage two, establish yourself in the knowledge of the truth. All right? When you know what God's doing, now you believe it, it'll have an effect in your life. By the way, God's will, you're in 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 3. God's will is your sanctification. Sanctification. What does that mean? Well, sanctification means to be separated unto God's purpose. That's what that means. Sanctification is you being identified as a servant of Christ. Sanctification. You being set apart for a holy purpose. Okay? That happened the moment you believe the gospel. Right? So don't fall in the trap of thinking that we need to sanctify ourselves, separate ourselves from the world, turn from our sins, and stop sinning before we can ever grow. No. Salvation happens first, and at the moment you believe, 1 Corinthians says Christ was your sanctification. The Corinthians were fornicating, lying, blaspheming people who knew the gospel. And Paul says, why are you doing these things? Ye are sanctified. Right? He said, you're already sanctified. Christ was your sanctification. He died on the cross and became that for you. So his reasoning is, then why are you behaving this way? Right? The third stage about sanctification in your life has to do with you being who Christ made you. All right? First, you need to learn who Christ made you. Then be who Christ made you, right? There's nothing really you have to do for that. You just be that. Change your understanding of who you are. I am no longer my old man. That guy that I was, all the pleasures and the lusts and the ambitions that I had in that old man, that's not worth as much as what God tells me to do in his word. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be this other guy, this new guy in Christ. Okay, I'm going to be who Christ made me to be. Right? The Bible tells you who that is. It's not some secret purpose, but this is God's will for you. 1 Thessalonians 3, down in let's look at verse 10. Paul says, night and day he prays exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And so Paul, him being the minister to them, he wants to try to provide for their growth, and he's looking to see where they're lacking. It's hard for him, because Thessalonians are doing some good works. So apparently they know what to do, they're saved, they know what to do, and they're doing it. So he's really got to reach here, figure out where they're lacking. By the way, the more people mature, it is harder to find out where they're lacking. Because when you mature in right doctrine, you mature and you start doing works that God ordained you to do, it's hard to see the flaws. Mainly the flaws that you have are those things that God only sees. You know, it's easy for those people to get lifted up in pride and that sort of thing. Beware of that. And so it's hard for other people then to see where you, your flaws are. Always consider that Christ died for your sins. Okay? You're not perfect. Right? It's only you in Christ that's worth anything. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, Paul says, "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you, to the end." The goal. The goal is that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul points to the future and says, you're doing good right now, but you know what? We're not there yet. The war is not over. Life's not over. You got a long way to go. You need to keep pressing on. And you need to abound from here to there. Okay. Sanctification has to do with that. Has to do with, you know, I know the doctrine, I give the right answers, but you need to be who God made you. You need to keep pressing on. You need to, it says here, establish your hearts unblameable. Not just your minds, your hearts. Right? So you have your mind, and you've got right doctrine now. You're avoiding the false doctrines. You're pointing out the errors. You're helping people grow in it. And you know, your heart needs to be in the right place. Because it's not about you being puffed up with what you know. It's about being who Christ made you to be. Okay? In holiness before God, even our Father. So in verse 1, Paul says, "As ye have received of us how ye ought to walk," 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, "so ye would abound and more, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." That's something different. Okay, possessing your vessel in sanctification and honor, abstaining from. 1 Corinthians 5 says, avoiding the appearance of, right? Removing yourself from what the world says, it's okay. What baby Christians say, it's okay because it's salvation by grace. You need to start removing yourself from that. Identifying yourself with who you are in Christ. You say, well, it's not for salvation. Of course not. We've already established salvation. Let's go back and study that, right? We're talking about your sanctification. We're talking about you being who Christ made you to be. So it won't be perfect till Christ comes. Paul says, look at what's going to happen when Christ comes and press on towards that, right? Be like Christ has made you to be right now. That means you're going to have to start separating yourself from your old man, from what the world says it's okay to be, from what baby Christians think is acceptable. You need to mature, okay? Possess your vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. It's hard to tell the difference sometimes between baby Christians and unsaved people, just by looking at them. Because the gospel is not your works, the gospel is what you believe. And you know what? You love the baby Christians because they're saved, but they need to grow up, right? They need to get some doctrine in them because they say all sorts of stupid things and they act kind of weird, right? At least I think so. You may think I act weird. You know, that's the whole point here. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, you are bought with a price. Your life is not yours anymore. You've read the verses. You know the verses. Hey, here's a novel idea. What if we start living like those verses say we ought to? You know? I mean, this is where grace people look at you and say, you're being legalistic. No, I'm trying to get you to grow. Okay? God never intended for you to remain in your uncleanliness. That's why he saved you by his grace. To give you an excuse to avoid that. Because Christ made you something different. Okay? He gave you different shoes to fill. And so you read down in verse 7, we're called unto holiness. And he's talking to people who already know the gospel. They're already saved. This is not salvation. He's talking to people who are already doing some work. They know some doctrine. He says, you know things and you're doing some work. Right? But he says, you need there's something else that even you can grow on. Right? We can all grow in this avenue. By the way, we're talking about good works and we're talking about possessing our vessel in honor and sanctification. You cannot get to this point. This cannot happen unless you know right doctrine. You've heard me say before that doctrine breeds good behavior. People always want to put it the other way around. Well, be good first, then learn doctrine later. No. It doesn't happen that way. Because inevitably, you will try to reform and change your old man. And it'll be a fleshly work. Right? That's not what we're doing here. Learn the doctrine first. Know from where the motivation comes to do good. It's not to puff yourself up. It's not for pride. It's not for religious sake. It's not for your sake. It's not for me because I care about what you think and I want to make myself look good before you. That's not it. There's different motivation. The motivation comes from understanding the right doctrine. And suddenly, your motivation is correct. Okay? One good example of this is the tithing giving controversy. Hopefully, we're all skilled enough in our understanding of God's word to know the difference. But we saw at the fair, people have a big problem with this. You don't teach tithing, how do you get money? The obvious answer is people give it to us, right? They don't see that giving and tithing are different. Tithing is a law requirement, whereby if you don't, you're cursed of God, Malachi 3. Giving is as you purpose in your heart, not of necessity, not of obligation. There's a different motivation there, right? If I say you don't have to give anything, but if you purpose in your heart, you can, it'll help us out. Suddenly, the motivation has to come from within you. I'm not going to twist your arm. God's not going to twist your arm. Where's the motivation come from? From right doctrine. You have to make a choice now, a mature choice. Should I support this or should I support that guy? Or what should I do with my money? That's an adult choice, right? It's different than tithing, where I sit up here and say, God requires that I get 10% of everything you make. Gross. You know. That's more. Gross, not the net. But the verse for that is always funny when you try to look that up. But you see a good example there, okay? There's a difference between the motivate and the motivation. Your sanctification has to do with your motivation. You start preaching good works. Paul talks a lot about sanctification and you doing good works. He says in Ephesians 4, put on Christ, right? You know Christ, you've learned Christ, you know who you are in Christ, put him on. Right? Do good works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works which you've done, lest any man should boast, but you are ordained unto good works that you should do them, Ephesians 2, verse 10. Right after the verses. It's not that the works, obviously, salvation, let's go back and study it, right? Salvation is not works. And yet, good works are good things, right? Righteousness and doing right is a good thing. There's a reason to do it. It's not to present our works before God to say, here they are, our sacrifice to you. It's not so we can show ourselves better than anyone else. That's not the reason. Okay, it's because it's a right thing to do. So sanctification is something that is the stage of your growth after you learn right doctrine. You need to mature past that point so that you start doing some good works. 1 Thessalonians 5. Thessalonians is a good place to start with this. The second half of Ephesians is a good place. Colossians, Philippians are good places. 1 Corinthians, Paul is trying to whip the baby Corinthians into shape, saying, look, good works are a good thing to do. The Corinthians didn't think good works were even necessary because Christ died for their sins. 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 16, Paul says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. People learn grace and say, why should I pray if God's not going to answer all my prayers? Well, thanksgiving is a good reason to pray. Why should I give thanks? He's already done it for me. You see, there's a motivation problem. This is a baby talking, right? You need to go back, learn the doctrine, learn who you are, learn who God is, learn what God's will is, and do it. You know, sanctification. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Down to verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. You see what Paul's doing here? He's describing what it means to be sanctified. You can evangelize, you can go to church, you can be saved and never reach this point. I want you to grow to this point so that you know the doctrine and that it works effectually in you. The communication of your faith is evident. Okay? That's what this sanctification is all about. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 16. In this stage of your growth, your sanctification, the focus shifts from what you know to the strength in your inner man, who you are. Okay. By the way, you learn who you are by studying right doctrine. But Ephesians 3, down in verse 16, Paul says that he prays for them. He bows his knees to the Father that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And so you may know the right verses. It's harder to use them. In the right situation, Paul says you can get strength by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That started with the gospel, continued with your hearing God's word, rightly divided, and he's going to dwell in your hearts, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that he might be filled with the fullness of God. Well, doesn't that sound holy and pious to you? It does to me. This is sanctification. Okay, this is beyond the knowledge. This is, you've learned what it means to have faith in Christ. He dwells in your heart by faith. You're rooted and grounded in verse 17. And yet, you need to comprehend, and even there's something that passes comprehension, being filled with the fullness of God. Right? You learn the Spirit dwells in you.
why not live after that Spirit that dwells in you?
You see, that's a different thing.
Okay.
Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
You already know the vocation you're called to.
And some of you are going, what vocation is that?
You know, I'm a gas man. You know, well, no, Ephesians 4, 1 is talking about the vocation that you have in Christ. You're an ambassador. God's will. That's stage 2, right?
Ephesians 4, 1 says, walk worthy of the vocation. So you know who you are. You know God's will. Walk worthy of it. Ephesians 4 describes how to do that. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. You already know who you are in Christ. You already know God's will. Follow God's will. Okay? Ephesians 5, verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
Right? Be sanctified. Be that. Okay? If you be that, you will be the offscouring of the world. So this is not something where, hey, be this and everyone will love you. You know, if you be this, you'll be doing the right thing. And yet Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, people aren't going to like it. Because you're going to call into question their religiosity, their self-righteousness, right? And you're going to preach a motivation by God's grace that's different than what they've been trusting. So we need to be that whom God has made us. Colossians 1, verse 9. Before you can get to this point, like the other thing, you can't grow, you can't be established in right doctrine until you're saved. You also can't do this until you're saved and until you have doctrine inside of you. Colossians 1, verse 9. People want to put the good works before they understand any doctrine. You can't do that. You have to learn the doctrine first. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire and be filled with the knowledge of His will.
That's your establishment. That's an ignorant person learning God's will. Okay. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10 is the next stage of your growth. Why are you learning all this stuff? Why do we need to study the Bible? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. What you'll see is as you walk worthy, as you're fruitful in the good work, you'll need to learn some more. And you go back to Scripture, I understand what that verse means now. And you go back and you study some more. So now you're going back and you're growing more. You see, that's how growth operates. Verse 11, because of that you're strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. Okay, it produces things in you. Strength, joy, it says here, there's power of God in you. You're increasing the knowledge of God because you learn the doctrine and you're walking in it. All right, Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Which leads us to the final stage of growth. And again, by the way, I say these stages here, I'm not trying to put some people on pedestals and others not. You know, everyone goes through all of these stages multiple times in their life. You get saved immediately, you hear the gospel, you're happy about it, right? You learn that Christ died for your sins, you go and tell somebody else, you're serving the Lord, right? But the way that baby Christian serves the Lord is different than the way someone who's matured and grown in Christ serves the Lord. It's not that neither one preaches the gospel. They both preach the gospel. But now one has been through the battle quite a bit. He's learned more. He's got more experience, you see. This final stage of growth, after you learn the doctrine, after you say, I'm going to be that who Christ may be, you know what that breeds? You doing work for God, right? It's not just that you are who Christ made you and I'm going to live that way. It's that I need to do something. It's the feeling of obligation that you have. See, I'm not there yet. I just don't have a desire to do ministry. I want to in my mind. I don't have the desire. Well, that's because you're not there yet. Okay? You can't force that. You need to learn right doctrine, learn the motivation, be that who Christ made you, and suddenly you'll feel a duty, you'll feel an obligation, a necessity laid on you that if I'm going to be this whom Christ made me, I need to do what God wants us to do. I need to see all men saved, come to know the truth. I need to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery. I need to be a faithful brother who can teach other people to teach also. Someone's got to do it. Who else? Right? The baby Christian doesn't feel that. The baby Christian's glad he got saved. This is great. You know, the person studying the Scripture, they're glad they learned right division. This is awesome. They're evangelizing right division. This is good. Like, it's the most important thing you can ever learn. But there's stages after this. There's growth that happens. Right? Sometimes I say up here and say, it's great to teach. It's great to me. You're going, this sounds pretty boring to me. You spend 6 hours reading stuff. You know, what in the world? There's growth that happens here. Okay? Where you've got to. I can't not do it. You see?
If I don't, I'm going back 3 steps. And I'm not doing God's will now. You know. And so, more important than asking, where do I start, which is the theme of the outline today, where do I start, and I've given you some places to start, is asking, what is the goal? Right? Where are we going? Well, the goal of salvation, the goal of learning right division, the goal of studying your Bible, the goal of your sanctification is not just so that God has a bunch of little obedient children here. It's so that, hey, you can serve the Lord now and for eternity. Independent, responsible people serving the Lord. This is what God has always wanted for His glory. Okay? Service takes all sorts of shapes and forms. I told you before, you know, the new Christian, all he knows how to do is the only thing he's heard from God is the gospel. So the only thing he knows how to do is hand out the gospel. We do that at the fair. It's easy work. It really is very easy. We're not trying to get people to change their lives. We're not getting people to say, hey, sign up to be a minister. We're just saying, you know the gospel? This is stage one. You know, hand out tracts, you know, just talk. This is easy work. Okay, it doesn't require a lot of maturity to do that. Okay, people start asking you Bible questions. You know, they come up to the booth at the fair and they ask you Bible questions. You know, the first thing I do, are you saved? Do you know the gospel? How do you do that? Because I could be talking to someone who's trying to study the Bible and doesn't know the gospel. They're on the wrong foundation. And typically that's the case. I think maybe one person I heard something resembling the gospel when I asked him that. Lots of people are in churches who are not saved. They don't know the gospel and they're trying to learn and grow. Okay? Your growth depends on Christ and what He did for you on the cross. It depends on Christ according to the mystery. It depends on Christ being in you. Sanctification. And then suddenly, you become a member of the body that is functional to serve the Lord. Okay? You're equipped. What is the goal? The goal is your service. Ephesians 3, 8 through 10, Paul says, he tries to make men, all men see the fellowship of the mystery. It has been hidden God. To the intent that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 3, verse 10. Right? There's a purpose to all this. Right? There's principalities in heavenly places. And I talk about these angelic places and these heavenly beings that don't know the mystery that we're communicating it to. And, you know, the baby Christian looks at me like, wow, what did I get into? This is crazy. But I've already passed the stage where I believe every word in this book. To me, this book is truth. Okay? I read it and it says there's principalities and powers in heavenly places. I believe it. I agree with it. It says that our ministry affects that. It says that we'll be sitting and reigning in those places. We got a job to do. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, Paul says to the Corinthians who are starting to serve there that we thus judge that if Christ died for all of us, then we're all dead. As we died in Christ, we're crucified with Him. The life that we live now in the flesh, we should live for Him that loved us and died for us. Right? There's a reasoning there. That now my life's not mine, it's His. I need to do what He said He wants to get done. There's a need for soldiers to endure hardness. A baby is not ready for that. Someone just studying the Scripture may not be ready for that. They're trying to be persuaded. They're trying to be convinced. They're trying to learn and establish themselves. They're not ready to be put in the front line. Okay? But there is a need for soldiers. There's a need for people to do the work. I told you before, the majority of Christianity is still at that establishment stage. Just few people that get to the service. Right? But this is what all of us have been called to do. Okay? To serve the Lord. Full-time service. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Say full-time service, and the first thing people think about is, well, I don't want to be a pastor. That's not the only full-time service that exists. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that's in Christ, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So that's sanctification right there, right? Be who you are in Christ. This is your service. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's sanctification, right? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove it. How are you going to prove it? By your service. You got to speak the words. Right? You're going to do something. Whether it be with your children, your neighbor, your friends, being who God made you. Okay? You're a husband. You're a wife. You're an employee. You're an employer. You're a person. You're an ambassador. You're a saint of God. This is who you are. Be those things. You're serving the Lord. Okay? You sleep a third of your life away. Right? But God knows this. You eat, you work, provide for your family, you teach, you raise your children in the knowledge of the truth. This is God's service, you see. Being who God made you is serving the Lord. And that means you're a part of the church, okay? So we're talking about full-time service here. We're talking about you serving the Lord. The goal is that eventually you know the gospel, you know the truth, You are being who Christ made you to be, and now you're helping other people be that. Okay, Ephesians 4:16 talks about the function. We covered Ephesians 4:15 at the beginning of our lesson. Ephesians 4:15 says, "You're speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things." Right, and that was the whole idea, that we're growing up into Christ. Right. When you reach this stage of service where you're helping out, you're at the point where I know I can do. I'm in Christ, and I'm helping other people to get here. Ephesians 4:16, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making the increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love." What is he talking about? Well, you've got a body of Christ, the church. There are different stages of growth. There are different stages of understanding. There are different levels. Okay, some people are not ready to serve. Some people should not be serving. Unsaved pastors need to step down from the pulpit. They do not rightly divide. They need to shut the doors. They should not be serving. They can't preach right doctrine. Okay, they're not there yet. Someone who's behind a pulpit who knows right doctrine, who cannot present themselves as someone in Christ, doesn't need to be doing it. You see what the requirements are? They're stiff to be someone serving the Lord. But this is the goal. We should all be reaching this. Okay? And yet we don't. I think it's because people don't call people to do it. Right? We need more people to do the work of an evangelist, but not just the evangelist, the big hair in the bus. We dealt with that last week, right? I'm talking about you communicating right doctrine. You being established in right doctrine. You being who you are in Christ, so that everywhere you're at, whatever you're doing, you're bringing glory to God because you're a servant of the Lord where you're at. Right? You're able to do the service. You're able, you're equipped to be that. So you're able then, as we come together, to supply something to every other joint. I love new believers. I was one once. Sometimes I feel like I've lost the edge. You know, new people, you all were new to learning right division at one point. Maybe not the gospel, but learning. You're on fire, right? This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. There comes a point where that fire dies down a little bit. Okay, it's just what it happens. I mean, and you need to press on. You need to keep going anyway, right? You need to keep going. This is what it means to be that, to be sanctified, to serve. New believers have that function of encouraging the rest of us. This is great. You know, this is good to see new faces. You know, this is great that you're so excited because you're right. It is exciting, right? Sometimes we get kind of, oh, well, we're doing it every week. And we just do it, grumbling through, okay? But we need older people as well that know the doctrine. We need people who are studying it out for the first time so they can be established and telling people that, you know, I was a little fuzzy on that, but then I went through this and I understood the gospel here. I understood the doctrine, right? We need people who've already studied the doctrine that can tell you, say, hey, look, there's more to this. Keep coming. Okay? The whole body, different members, every joint supplies to encourage each other, that we increase, that we continue to grow. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Some churches, they come together, the only thing that they can do to encourage each other is to display their miraculous ability. I say that with my tongue in my cheek. And that was a pun. 1 Corinthians 13, they come together, they do the miracles, they have a testimony of God's physical power displayed in their life. The problem with that is when they don't see that in their life anymore, suddenly they fall off a cliff. They're not stable on their own, they can't stand on their own. Unless God performs a miracle, I'm dying here, Lord. You know, He's given us a book to establish us in the faith, that we may be able to stand as soldiers doing the work. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says that all those signs and miracles, they're going to go away. That's what he says. There's something that is needed for you to stand, and that is charity. Right? Mm-hmm. Charity is different than love. You can love anything, but charity requires you love the truth. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6 says that, verse 6, "Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth." That's charity. Charity rejoices in the truth. It means you know the truth. You know the gospel, you're established, you're sanctified, and you rejoice in it. This is the important thing. And you want to see that truth benefit other people. And so you don't behave yourself unseemly, you seek not your own, you seek the things of other people, you're not easily provoked, you think no evil. That's what charity is. See down in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, Paul says that the gifts, the miracles, the signs will cease, but now abides faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Faith is you believing the truth. Okay. Hope is the truth working in you through your bad circumstance, that you're grounded and established in right doctrine. You have some hope. All right. Charity is when that truth, not only do you believe it, not only is it working in you, but you need to see this truth in other people. Right? Now that's charity. Before, it was just you saying, I need to grow, I need to learn, I. Charity suddenly goes, you need to know this. You know, you need to grow. You need to be helped by this. Right? So it changes from all about you to all about someone else. That's charity. That's the truth benefiting other people. We need faithful men who are able to do that. Before they are able to do that, they need to be established in right doctrine. They need to know the gospel. They need to believe their Bible. They need to rightly divide the word of truth. That's why we teach so much about that. Okay, these are the four stages of growth, I think, that Paul goes through. And that no doubt we're all at one place or another. And we ask the question, where do I start? All of us can pick one or more of these places and say, I need to start work on this. I need to work on that. Okay, it all starts with the gospel of the cross. It ends with you preaching the gospel of the cross. When you get saved, we need to study to show ourselves approved. This is how you will be changed. Okay, this is how you'll grow. Any thoughts? Any words on that? Good.